You're listening to part one of the Women's Mosaics conversation with Jasadia Lopez.
I'm Elizabeth Madrigal.
And I'm Karen Morrison.
And we're the hosts of the Women's Mosaic, where the real lives of women and girls are shared and celebrated.
In this space, we honor the feminine and amplify the voices of women speaking their truth.
The Women's Mosaic delves into the real lives of local women through story-rich interviews, learning what works and what doesn't to enhance the health and well-being of women in our community.
We strive to share unique perspectives, resource sharing, and instructions on how to be kind by any means necessary. Welcome to the Women's Mosaic.
Pensaba que contigo iba a envejecer. En otra vida, en otro mundo por hacer. En esta solo queda irme un día.
Today we are joined by Jasadia Lopez. She is a junior who attends the Arts and Academics High School in Vancouver and a youth and community organizer. Welcome to the show, Jasadia.
I'm happy to be here and honored for this amazing opportunity.
We're honored to have you. Yep.
To start off our conversation, we'd like to ask you to tell us one thing you'd like our listeners to know about you, and this can be anything.
Well, something that I always share when I'm introducing myself to someone is just a little fun fact. I found over 64 four-leaf clovers. I've kind of stopped counting, but I do have a photo album of the majority of them.
Wow.
I've never found one. My grandmother gave me one when I got engaged. That was it.
Really?
Where do you find them?
I just, sometimes during the day, I take the time to just crouch down and like look in the field and find them. Wow. I remember the first one I found is when I was like around probably 8.
Mm-hmm.
I was just crouching down in this park that we go to that has this fallen over tree, and I found one and I immediately ran to my parents, and he was like, "Oh my God, so lucky." And like, we rubbed it on my dad's wallet, and then I ran back and I found another one that day. I found two that day.
Wow,
that is lucky.
That's actually quite adorable.
That is cute. Did you ever see a leprechaun though?
I haven't yet. I'm still, maybe when I reach 100.
Yeah. I'll tell you once I get there, if I ever.
So you are already an experienced activist at 16 years old. What led to your interest in politics and government at such a young age?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily an interest in politics and government that I have. It's more of a drive to serve and what I want for justice.
Mm-hmm.
My parents would never hide from telling me their past and their history, what they went through and what they kind of grew up with. And growing up, I was able to catch social cues and tension really well. So when I started learning about the civil rights movement and challenges that minority groups face, it was really easy for me to make a connection about what my family was enduring as a low-income household and from an immigrant background, and to those around me. I had also a very strong sense of justice, even as a child. So it was kind of a given that I would want to try to fix what was causing these difficulties for my parents and my community. And I remember asking my teacher when we were learning about the civil rights movement, and I just learned about Dr. King and all these, like who the president was, like who all these people were. And I asked her, like, would I, if I became an activist or if I became this type of person, would I be able to make the change that they have? And she told me yes. And ever since my parents can remember, I've been going on and on since first grade saying that I want to be president. Because to me, that was the highest level that I could be able to make change. And even now, I found like my own way mm-hmm. into that. Mm-hmm. And that has formed into an interest of politics and government. Because to me, that is my way that I can make change. And I've often been told that I'm a political person. But at heart, I don't fully believe that. What I believe in is equality and justice. And all I have to do is think of my parents and the stories that have been gifted to me to feel more reaffirmed in that belief. As, you know, no one is too young to be affected by the system we're in, mm-hmm. I don't think there should be like an age limit against who should be allowed to advocate against it.
That's right. In January, you represented your high school as a Washington State Senate page in Olympia. Can you tell us what that experience was like?
It was an amazing experience, and it was wonderful seeing a new perspective. As a youth lobbyist, I head up yearly to Olympia to lobby for bills and initiatives I'm passionate about with either nonprofits or just advocacy groups. I've advocated for immigrant rights, housing, environmental justice, just core beliefs and values of mine. But as a Senate page, I got to see Olympia in a different light than what I'm used to, where I normally would prepare a testimony and be passionately advocating for what I believe in. I was instead escorting other lobbyists for their meetings and seeing the work behind what I participated in. It was a bit difficult at first, but I got used to it. As a page, I had to be nonpartisan, and I couldn't really reach out to the groups that were coming in, even if we were with the same beliefs.
Right.
So it was really interesting and nice, because I also had an opportunity to meet all these different senators and representatives, but I can't just be asking them, like, hey, like, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? Yeah.
So that sounds like it was... Fun. Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was really interesting because you had to use so much restraint, mm-hmm. personal restraint. And, you know, it's very hard. The only thing I can say, I'm nonpartisan when it comes to my grandchildren. And that's probably the only way I can pull that off. Mm-hmm. And you know, but so I kind of understand the feeling of, nope, this is important that I, you know, walk this line.
Yeah. But I can understand because our nonprofit, we are nonpartisan, but you know, there's your heart and your mind that goes, oh, I hope people are paying attention to what this person is saying because you may not totally agree. And so I love having you see it from both ends of it and being able to make that decision at such a young age to say, you know what? Your heart just goes to social justice, not for some, but for everybody. That's cool.
And along with that, I also got to meet some amazing people who really added to my experience. And I kind of want to show some appreciation to my senator who sponsored me. I paged under Senator Adrian Cortez and the wonderful staff who was also helping me ensure that I was doing my job properly while serving the Senate. And I do want to share that my best experience of that trip was that before I went there paging, I was up in Olympia for Immigrant Advocacy Day, and one of the bills that I was advocating for got introduced to the Senate floor, and it passed while I was in the room and in the chamber.
Yes.
And it was really a moment that gave me a lot of motivation and right. determination in the advocacy that I do, and just knowing that it really has an impact.
Yes.
Especially since the sponsor mentioned all the amount of people that signed in pro, and mm-hmm. I know that was me, and I encouraged a lot of other people to do the same. So it was really nice.
Really rewarding.
That is
because you get to see in action the result of your advocacy, which is fantastic. So in addition to your academic studies, you are a community youth organizer. Can you give a few examples or just one of events you have led or organized and why they were important to you?
A lot of the events I either assisted with or help organize revolve around the same theme, a form of justice or advocacy. An event I organized independently with a high school partner was called Artist Day, where I went to my old elementary school and partnered up with the art teacher and the classes to provide art supplies and fun activities for the students, grades K through 5th. We also hosted a donation drive called For the Artist, where we collected art supplies, where we donated And some of the activities we did with the students included making clay monsters, felt dolls with clothing and hair they could customize, and paper flowers. One of the main reasons we wanted to create this event and give that experience to those kids is because my old elementary school is a Title I school, and as someone who struggled to obtain art supplies and when I was their age needed confidence to pursue art, we wanted to give them that opportunity and inspiration. My more known events that I've organized are with the VPS school walkouts. They tie more with advocacy work that I'm passionate about, and the most attended one had over 1,500 students from both VPS and EPS.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I've also assisted with some community outreach events for environmental justice with my work from the Climate Adaptation Task Force with Fourth Plane Forward, where we brought in community members and shared resources and valuable information within our community. Overall, I think my main work has just been trying to provide or bring light to something within the community.
It's wonderful.
It's pretty amazing.
You have spoken about the value of teaching your testimony lesson. Can you explain what you mean by that?
A skill I believe every youth should have is the ability to advocate for themselves, their community, and what they believe in. In my How to Give a Testimony lesson, which I'm offering online now to reach more students, gives a format for students to follow if they ever wanted to speak before a school board, city council, county council, or state legislators. I've built it off my own experience and try my best to work with the students I'm teaching it to, normally in a classroom setting, so they understand and feel confident in what they wrote and are showing.
Mm-hmm.
We go over what a testimony is, a format to write it in, both fun examples and more realistic ones for those feeling confident, and practice speaking in front of the class. I've been teaching this lesson for 2 years now, and I feel very proud of the feedback and results I've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I notice that quite often that youth are expected to speak out about certain issues and have a voice in some area. But if we don't provide them with the necessary skills to do just that, I think it's an unfair standard. And that's kind of what I'm trying to achieve with my lesson, is giving youth, whether or not they want to actually use the skills, but giving them a chance to speak out if they wanted to or if they needed to.
Absolutely.
I'm just amazed at the deepness of your understanding of this. I mean, I know I was very shy until I hit 21, and then something changed in my brain, and I haven't been quiet since. But prior to that, I was really not submissive. That's not the right word. I just felt, I didn't feel empowered, is the right way to say it. And so what you're telling us is you're teaching young people your own age how to express their voice, how to express, you know, giving them the confidence they have the right to do that, and then telling them how to do it. You know, it's like learning how to braid your hair. You know, once you learn it, it's so easy, but it's, you know, I've seen men actually try to braid their daughter's hair.
It's awful. Sorry,
so,
Dad.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I have to commend you on that.
You're listening to the Women's Mosaic on KXRW. We've been talking to youth organizer Jasadia Lopez about her community activism and leadership. We are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and then continue our conversation.
Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
Shriners Children's has opened a new pediatric orthopedic clinic in Vancouver. The clinic provides evaluation and follow-up care for children and teens with orthopedic conditions, including sports-related injuries such as sprains and fractures. Care is available regardless of a family's ability to pay. The Vancouver Shriners Children Clinic is located at 900 Northeast 139th Street, Suite 204, and is open Monday through Friday. Information about services and scheduling is available at shrinerschildrens.org/Vancouver Clinic.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to the Women's Mosaic on KXRW. Today, our guest is Jasadia Lopez, who is a youth activist and a junior at the Vancouver Arts and Academics High School. Our conversation with her continues. One challenging part of adolescence can be the lack of full autonomy. So, you know, you've talked about basically empowering people, but does being informed and engaged through your community activism contribute to your sense of empowerment? And if so, in what ways?
I think yes, it very much does. There's so much in the world that is outside our circle of control, but I feel that with every step I take towards activism and action, my circle is expanding in areas I previously would feel more helpless in. Mm-hmm. When I first started into activism, I felt so much more frustrated about stuff and irritated, and since I thought there wasn't much that I could do. There were all these bills being passed that affected me directly while I was learning at school or just playing outside. Decisions being made without anyone who looks like me at the table or anyone that's around my age. And the impact of it all being felt in my day-to-day life. What I consider activism is more than just protesting or organizing. It's also being more informed and educated.
That's right.
And that's kind of where I learned more deeply about the parts in my life that I can control. And once I understood where these issues stemmed from, where I could get my voice heard and listened to, that irritation faded and got replaced with determination. And I'm very much more of a fan, instead of feeling kind of helpless to these issues that I'm put under with all these things that are out of my control, doing these little things like helping around the community or partnering up with people that are actively doing the work that I wish I could be doing has given me like a sense of resilience against it all.
Yes. And belonging and power. There is power in taking action, whatever the result is. You know, I mean, that's something that, I mean, the fact that you recognize the lack of control over some things.
Yes.
That is something I see adults 5 times your age still struggling with. You know, they still think they can control other people or every situation. And you know, it's just ridiculous. And there's only so much you can control. But you can always control your reactions and actions. And that's what you're telling us. I mean, Karen told me you were amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
When she walks in the room, it's power. Yep. It's power. She knows she's going to win. Yep. She wears that, her crown, very well. Yeah. And it just makes me smile when I think about when we worry about the next generations, we don't have to. As
true.
Long as there are people who get it and then teach it to other people, but teach it at a level that everybody can get. And you don't minimize anyone. I've watched you for the last couple of years. And like I said, if I know that you could be at Clark County or city, I show up. I'll be running in there, sitting in the back eating gummy bears or something. But I will be there because I'm like, I get to see my next generations and I get to celebrate you. And not just only you, but other youth that said, you know what? Thank you for what you've done. I'm not going to fail you. I will finish your race. And guess what? We win together. So I'm just always impressed by you. I'm always amazed that you can understand what took us a lifetime, it feels like, to understand. But yeah. You can do it with grace. You have wisdom beyond your years because I know you had a great foundation. You had people that taught you, that allowed you to be yourself with respect and to honor your family and honor your family's name, Lopez. So I love hearing from you. But more than that, I like the fact that you say, I'm educating, I'm teaching, because I won't always be here, but I want to make sure that the people coming up behind me are well-trained. So that's just amazing to me. You told me you are not a fan of parades. Is it enough for youth to protest, or should organizers focus on voicing demands such as policy change?
I want to quickly say thank you, but when I talk about that type of parade, I'm not thinking of a celebration of culture or bringing something to light. I'm thinking specifically when it comes to protests. When we have an organized youth all coming together, advocating for the same issue, there is so much more. And it's so powerful when youth do that, that I think that if we wanted to, we could make something happen.
Yes.
And in my experience, that has been the case. When I say I'm not a fan of parades, I think more that there can be so much more done, especially with all these people gathered for one issue and one cause. When we have the numbers, I really think, and I've said this before, that we need to add the strength into it by doing a single action, multiple actions. And in my case, with the youth walkouts, by having all those students walk out with me and demand the same goals and issues with me, I've managed to connect with my school board. They've reached out to me, and we're currently working on actionable steps that can impact the lives of those who are targeted by the issue we advocated for.
Yes.
And I think it should be known to any youth organizer or just organizers out there that there can be so much more done. And that if we have the chance, we should always tie in an action towards it or make a demand.
Absolutely.
So every parent would like to know how to help their child find direction and purpose. What do you think it was about the way you were raised and the experiences that you have had that resulted in your passion for civil rights?
I would like to start with something a mentor told me. Some people know right from the beginning what they want to be and pursue. For example, a kid could say that since they first started talking that they wanted to be a firefighter. And when they grow up, they will be a firefighter. And other kids, they need time and they need to try out new avenues and experience before fully deciding what they truly want and feel right in. Now, I was a fireman kid. I always knew what I wanted to do and be. I knew that I wanted to make change. And like I mentioned before, it just didn't make sense in my head that some people were treated this way and other people were treated this way. It just didn't click for me. And now I'm doing what I can do in ways that I know. And I mentioned it before, but my parents, just by simply sharing their stories with me, and the fact that my character is someone who wants to serve and help others, made it really easy to me to find my passion and my calling. My advice for parents is to not be afraid to tell your children how you became who you are today, your stories, your history, your just life experience, and to always try to be supportive of the spark that your child is showing. It might just be their calling, because my parents showed support from day one of what I said, all the nonsense that I said. And it's where I am now.
I think that's great advice to nurturers, parents, grandparents, anybody that youth look to as those strong leaders in your family. It doesn't matter how silly it is. They need to know that you hear them, that you are like, you know what? That's great. What can I do to support you get to your goal. Because a lot of people say, well, that's not what I would have wanted to do. I wanted them to be this. And it's like, that may not be their dream. And so to hear you say, you know, firefighter was who you are, because you're on fire. And I'm like, wow. And then to have parents say, you know, that's okay. That's a great goal. This is good. And to even allow other people to say, you know, I want to be that, be supportive of whatever that is. So you've indicated that you serve in your school and also your community. Will you share some tips that we could share with others about how to do this, how to get involved? You created a mental health board, which is extremely important for everybody during this time. But what are some tips that they can look at?
I think my tips for some students is just finding a problem and a way to address it. And I think it's also nice to notice that it doesn't have to be solving a big issue right off the bat. We don't all have to aim for this big moment of change, but just small things that make mm-hmm. others feel seen and will impact them. For example, like the mental health board, I wanted to bring more recognition and continue what was previously at my school towards students who just want to feel recognized and bring some light to mental health issues mm-hmm. just by putting on positive little statements, making it look all nice, and providing resources out to students who might need it, mm-hmm. like call lines and just links that would provide them to where they need to get.
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify, this was like a bulletin board kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Okay.
Right.
Bulletin board.
You are listening to part one of our interview with Jasadia Lopez, a high school student, youth organizer, and advocate on the Women's Mosaic on KXRW. Part two will broadcast in 2 weeks.
That's our show. New episodes broadcast on the second and fourth Tuesdays, but you can stream any episode online anytime.
We are so grateful to our guests for sharing their knowledge and life experiences with us in their support of the health and well-being of women and girls.
So until next time, be kind by any means necessary.
And remember to honor your power.